RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So, the rise of predatory lending in New Zealand and its effects on families. Joining us to talk about this is Shula Newland, financial coach and the founder of Full Balance Financial Coaching. Shula, welcome to RCR. Thanks for coming on.
No worries. It's great to be here.
Predatory lending has always been there, hasn't it?
Yes. I'm a bit hesitant. The word predatory lending, I think there's still lenders that may not doing predatory lending, but they're still providing harm.
Right. So does that mean that they're not aware of the circumstances of who they're lending to and what the money might be used for? And as long as they're paying it back, that's all they worry about?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Those outfits are around then.
Yeah. And they're very commonplace loan companies. And that's the frustration about it, is that we have laws in place to protect consumers, and it's not working. They're not enforcing those laws hard enough to make lenders sit up and realise that they need to do things differently.
Whose responsibility is it fundamentally, though? I mean, if I want to borrow money and I can pay it back, even if I'm on the pokies or at the races or whatever, I mean, is it anyone's business?
Well, it comes down to the situation where what you've got is you're right, you've got consumers that are wanting to borrow money because they want that thing, right? So there's definitely some personal responsibility in there. I'm not going against that. And then you've got the lenders who are making money from giving out loans, and they want to give out more loans so they can make more money.
Right. And I take it that the interest in this sort of area of lending is usually pretty high, right?
Well, the interest rate is relevant to the risk of the borrower.
Okay.
So these are more likely to be higher risk, higher interest rate loans. But the real issue is the affordability, which is the payment rate, not the interest. And unfortunately, people get caught up on the interest rate and think, oh my God, that's terrible. How can you charge that interest rate? When there is business models for charging that interest rate, it's the payback period that back in the days of loan sharks was too high. And at the end of the day, that is what causes the harm, is the payback amount. The interest rate will then affect how quickly that loan gets paid back. But the harm is caused by the size of the payment.
And that's because what people... Well, they know how much it's going to cost them when they sign up, I would imagine. But circumstances can change, right? They can lose jobs or things come along and then you're behind, right? Instantaneously, perhaps.
Definitely. People can have changes in circumstances. But what we're seeing at the coalface is when people are coming to us, something has pushed them over the edge. So they were already struggling and something has pushed them over the edge and we've got help. And then what we found is that they couldn't afford the loan in the first place. And I think the lenders like to use the excuse of, no, they've had a change in circumstances. But what we see is a high proportion of clients that are coming to us struggling is because of loan payments.
Do the clients that you see fall into a certain category of what, socioeconomic personality type? Do you notice common patterns there?
Not necessarily. I mean, we get our funding from employee assistance program. So all the people that are coming to see us are working. I mean, there is a lot more lending in certain cultures because it's become the norm of how they provide for large events.
Okay, I've certainly seen news items over the last period of, you know, trucks driving through South Auckland suburbs selling stuff out of the back, and, you know, you can kind of put it on tick and pay it off at high interest rates. I think that probably affects Pacifica families and other families in a particular economic circumstance, or they might not feel confident that they can get loans from, you know, the what do you call them, the first tier sources like banks and things like that. Is that what you see? I guess, is there any cultural dimension to it?
I mean, I think you've got to remember that coming from the Pacific Islands is that they don't have as much of an ingrained banking system that we have. A lot of it is based on, exchange of goods and cash, and everyone helps out everyone when they need help. So when you come to a new country, you're then able to buy all these amazing things that they weren't able to get in their country.
Right.
So, they're going along, might go buy new TVs and everything and buy it just because they can, because they haven't got the knowledge and experience of what the consequences are of getting all those debts. I think what the one thing that people forget is that, you assume that people act rationally with their finances, and that is not how everyone acts. We design these systems to assume that people act rationally with their finances, but they don't. They can act incredibly irrationally. And so that's where we were talking before, where you've got the borrowers that are wanting this flash new thing. Usually, it could be a car. And a lot of egos are tied up in people's car and how flash it is. And then you've got a lender that wants to lend money. So you've got the rules, the Credits Contract and Consumer Act, CCCFA, which is wanting to regulate it to make sure that the lenders aren't just giving loans out to people willy-nilly. And because basically in New Zealand, New Zealand doesn't need to have poverty. We've got a government system that ensures we're working for families and wins, that families have enough to meet the bare minimum. So there's no need for poverty. In my opinion, the reason we have poverty, putting aside things like addictions and that, is because people are giving loans that then means they're having to live in poverty. And that's what we see. We see people struggling to get through life. It's not fun and it's not easy.
I hear you. Speaking of addictive behaviour, I see a case here in front of me, a borrower who incrementally topped up an $11,000 loan 10 times over 8 years, including May last year, for renovations, later found to have extensive gambling-related purchases, but his complaint about unaffordable loans was rejected. The lender was unaware of his gambling issues. Again, whose responsibility is it here? Because if you can hide it like that and keep paying the bills, again, I go back to that original question of mine, so what? People make their choices in life, right?
Well, unfortunately, you've got lenders which are a corporation and their objective is to make money.
Yep.
So you've got to balance that against protecting the consumer from the lender that wants to make money because of the harm that is done and the harm that is affecting society. The stats between my clients that come to me that are under immense stress and then we discover that the loans were unaffordable, there's a very high correlation between hospital visits and that situation.
Yep. And mental health, right?
Yeah, because the one thing that goes is then people make sure they pay their bills first and then what is left is for food. So if there isn't enough money left for food, they're living on 2-minute noodles. That's going to have effect on your health.
It's not good for you. Yeah, not good for you.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. The case I just mentioned, looking into one of the news stories, I think that person had 21 credit cards.
Yes. So
I can't believe that people. I got one credit card, right? One.
Yeah, so I think what you've probably got here is one of the issues is borrowers fraudulently applying for money.
Yeah.
And thus, hiding their situation and not declaring it honestly so they can get the loans. And lenders are well aware of this and they've got to have their checks and balances in place. And, you know, they've got to make sure they can ID the person properly. So that is something that the lenders are aware of. But, you know, I do think a blind eye is turned to it is turned, to be honest. And we're also aware of lending agents that teach people how to get a loan when they otherwise wouldn't be able to by wow. hiding, by not disclosing all the children they have. So there's all sorts of issues that are here. And, you know, I'm coming from the point of view of, you know, we want to make New Zealand a better place. We don't want to have kids growing up in poverty. We don't want to have mums stressed so they're not there for their children.
Eating because some have sacrificed food for themselves, haven't they?
Yes, yes, that's right. You know, and kids not being able to play sport and things like that. So I think with the changes in the legislation, so there's a lot of history here in this legislation, and I don't know how much time you want to spend on
that. No, explain it a bit, because I think there was an attempt, a genuine attempt to clean it up, right? But it's, yes. there have been like perverse effects, and that's why I think the government is looking at reforming the CC and CF Act.
Yeah,
so explain that a bit.
Triple CFA. Yeah, so that they've already reformed it. So it's gone back to a principle-based approach. So they changed it. It came out in 2021 to quite a prescriptive way of doing it, where they had to really scrutinise where all the spending was. And they had to include anything the borrower was unwilling or unable to change. So if the person was spending a lot of money on entertainment, for example, but unwilling to change that, that had to stay in the budget.
Right.
Although I doubt many
did. Okay, yeah.
But then the underlying principle of the Act is you should not give a loan to a person to put them in significant hardship. Now, the definition of hardship is when you're unable to meet your basic living costs. So there was straight away, there was, you know, it probably wasn't going to work because of that. But the intention was coming from a good place. I think one of the main things is that the borrower really needs to make an informed decision that when they're entering into this loan. Are they aware that if they take on this loan for this big fancy ute, that now they're not going to have any money left over to have the lifestyle they were used to, such as, you know, going out to the pub and having fun with their friends, just using a young single male as an example.
Okay.
So, you know, the borrower being able to make an informed decision is, I think, quite important, and knowing how the lender has actually determined what costs they've cut out so they could afford this is really important. And that's not happening either.
The banks have been, well, reported as doing that kind of research, haven't they? Looking into the food people consume, I guess, probably fast food, the subscriptions that they have, et cetera.
Yeah, so the banks have got the money, obviously, to do research into how people spend their money, and they've got the data. And there's statistical data on what is the, you know, typical amount people should spend on groceries, right? Which has gone up 50% with inflation. And I've recently had a loan that I'm taking, that I'm getting investigated. You know, they allowed $100 a week for a mum and a child. Now we would allow $200 a week for that, an example.
Gee, $100. Okay, good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, it's just an example of what's going on, and that they don't take into account, you know, school fees. They allow for a bit of kids' clothing. You know, it's just a very bare basic look at their finances, and that's it.
So what measures can be taken then to ensure that lenders who engage, let's call it predatory practices, but I take your point from earlier, that they're punished? I mean, if the loan is unreasonable, unworkable, I mean, should they take the hit for pushing someone into that situation and for making a bad loan decision? That's the market at work, isn't it?
Definitely. And this is the issue, is the legislation has always been there, but it's never been worth enforcing because there's really not many consequences. I recently sent an email to MB about this and ComCom because this legislation, you know, the revamp was in 2021, December 2021. We've only seen one company go to court, which was GoCar, and that's it. And so all these years later, there's still harm being done. And I don't think lenders have really changed the way they've tweaked their systems, but they haven't had the mind shift change that they need to have. Consequences I would expect to see is lenders being named and shamed in the media, for one.
Right, yeah.
And big fines as a consequence.
Yeah.
And some sort of compensation for the borrower for the amount of stress. I mean, the amount of stress that can affect people's life. I've had a client that, for example, when your body goes under stress, you start developing a lot of medical conditions.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, this person almost couldn't work then because of it. So it's huge effect on people's lives.
Yeah, maybe they could be fined and that money could be put to what is owed.
there's the money that they borrowed in the first place and how that's treated. And then there's the consequence for the lender and the benefit for the borrower. Because look, the borrowers normally aren't going to make waves and cause trouble, what they probably perceive as trouble, because they're just trying to get through life.
Yeah.
And to take a lender on, you know, could be quite stressful. So a borrower generally isn't going to do it unless there's going to be a good reason to. It's going to make their life better.
Yeah. Mm. I guess you get to a level of desperation or that you know that it's going to become obvious, so get ahead of it now. When you have people come to you and you kind of sort them out, because that's the aim, yeah, I would imagine, mm-hmm, the relief that you observe, what's it like to see? Is there relief or I'm curious?
It's not often a quick fix like that, because you've got to communicate with the lender and that they're supposed to get the data back to you within 20 working days, but they're taking longer than that. And then once you've got the data, you've got to analyse it and prove they didn't follow the law properly. Then you've got to start a complaints procedure. So it's quite a drag on.
And, right,
you know, but when people are in hardship, there's a catch-up. There's a catch-up period where they can't really simply have a better life because they've got to catch up all the stuff that they got behind on.
Yeah.
It's not a simple flip of the switch. It's, we get great results with our clients when there isn't so much to deal with, and just we get really good results there. But when it's you've got to go through that whole process and they're in hardship and it's difficult to get out of. But
and you might have to admit that you're an addicted gambler and all sorts of things, and that's a hard one, isn't it?
Oh, look, I think if there's addictions, in my job, the first thing you need to do is you need to acknowledge the addiction.
Yeah.
And you need to acknowledge that person's never going to be able to handle their finances properly, why they've got an addiction. Mm. So that's what needs to be addressed first. And that is a concern because these lenders are giving money out when they can see that clients are spending a lot of money on gambling.
Yeah.
And you can't just say, oh, so you're just going to stop gambling then, because it's an addiction.
Yeah, you know the answer to that potentially. It's going to take some time, if at all.
Yeah.
If people need help, Shula, how do they get in contact with yourself, but anyone that can kind of help them out in this situation? And obviously you encourage them to do something, right?
Yeah. So there's definitely things we can do and definitely help. So like I said earlier, we get funding through Employee Assistance Program, which pretty much all of the major employers are in the country. And often if one person can't get it, their partner could. So that's an opportunity. There's also the government-funded Money Talks budget advisors / financial mentors. Those are the two main areas where people can go and get help. And I think also, you know, just talking to people and, you know, knowing what other people's experiences are. You know, there's a lot of avenues out there now in terms of KiwiSaver hardship applications and loan hardship applications. Yeah. But there's definitely a path out of it. Like, it doesn't matter how bad the situation is that the client comes to us, we can provide that pathway out. Yeah.
In the end, it's the old saying, isn't it? You can't get blood out of a stone.
Yes, if you haven't got the money to pay it, then
it ain't going to happen.
Yeah. You need to meet your basic living costs first.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. And I think that's fair enough. Despite maybe being irresponsible or reckless, whatever, you got to have food on the table. Fullbalance.co.nz is the website to visit, right?
Yes, that's where you can find more about our company. Yes, Full Balance Financial Coaching.
Shula Newland, financial coach, founder of Full Balance Financial Coaching. Thanks for coming on and explaining that.
No worries, it was great.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.